Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles.
Yeah.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third
season
by a very funny stand-up comedian, writer, actor, producer, creator of Boast Rattle, compliment contest, never seen it, a podcast where famous comedians rewrite classic movies they've never seen. He hosted the podcast Faking a Murderer, where he talked with eight comedians for 8 hours about the show Making a Murderer, but didn't tell his guests that he'd never seen it. I know those are old credits, but they are very funny.
Oh, yeah.
He's very funny. Welcome to the show, the hilarious Kyle
Ayers. Hey, yeah.
We did it. Some of those are still around.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's hard to make puns out of new true crime shows. Otherwise, I would be out here pretending to know about those. You know, there's not the didn't winks. It's hard. The jinx is even my newest reference. You can tell how much television I watch.
Winks.
Yeah. The stinks.
It's me. Did you guys hear about this Lindbergh baby? I'm here to tell you about these new true crime things.
Very hot.
The Stinks is a podcast where you just keep farting with your guest in the room. But
I'm pretty sad everyone when they bring it out on our Fitbit pun discussion earlier. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah,
I know. Well, we were talking. I mean, let's take him back through it.
We were talking about the
Succession finale.
Yeah.
We were talking about how, you know, I think our last sentiment before we went into the weekend was it would be awesome if they somehow presaged the Orca attack and had like all the Succession children get their whole shit bit.
Yeah.
And then they were like swimming around in the ocean at
reference
night.
Sharks. And they reference fucking sharks too.
They're like, I don't want to get in there. There's too many sharks. And then they got in there.
Did you start levitating when that happened? Because I almost had the hydrogen atom like burned into my forehead like fucking Dr. Manhattan. I'm like, yes, I'm seeing it all now. Their whole shit shall be bid. But
the
anyway,
internet is so cruel. They could have got eaten by a regular shark and people would have said you guys weren't even close because you said orcas.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, you didn't predict anything.
Yeah.
You said fucking orcas, dumb.
Yeah, but upon reiterating we wanted to see them get their whole shit bit, Kyle, you came up with a brilliant invention.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To track your bowel movements and the health of your poos, there's the shit bit.
Yeah.
Which lets you know how many times, I would say the opposite of steps, how many times you your legs fall asleep on the toilet every day.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
If you don't like the shit bit, you can get the Crapple Watch. It works with iOS. Just kind of depending on what operating system you're
using
with.
Yeah.
Works
with
IBS.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tim Uncooked. Salmon is in charge of the Crapple Watch, I believe.
Would that be a toilet or a peripheral device you wear? I feel like the toilet would be the most effective tool, right?
It's just all about getting you into their ecosystem.
Yeah. Their fecal system.
Their fecal system.
The biome. The Apple biome.
Okay, I'm sorry. I gotta
This is gonna be fun until it's real. This is gonna be the orca to shark closeness in like 5 years. There's something's gonna come out and they're gonna make you didn't call it the right name, so you didn't predict it.
right.
We gotta keep it vague.
Jackie Sneal, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or what you are interested in right now?
Let me talk to the ladies real quick.
The fucking Maxwell show.
Let me talk to the ladies in the house.
Yeah.
Turn your radios down. Turn it back up. So let me tell you something. You know how it always surprises me that like men don't know about the female body, like basic shit, you know, and things like that. You want to know how to get a dude to learn just like the most basic shit about things like periods and tell him like you might be pregnant. And that motherfucker is going to get on the Google search and that nigga going to learn everything about ovulation. He going to learn shit about your uterus lining falling down.
Right.
He going to learn about your cycle. He gonna be like, all right, so is your basal temperature up or down?
There we go. Basal, wow, Italian basal temperature.
What's your basal temperature? Now, when you got the mucus coming out of the cervical mucus, is that thick or slow? You gonna learn? He learns. That's how he learns, right? Wow. Like Miles and Dan both like, now what the fuck is that? Let me tell you.
I just had a baby. I'm like, this is new.
You just had a baby, but see, it wasn't a pregnancy scare. You were ready for the baby. You was like, oh, the baby coming? Shit, I did my job.
The same way when you're trying to be like, yo, is this it? You do start being like, okay, what's, like, did you do the pee stick? You know what the hormones looking like?
Yeah. We gotta learn this shit. We have to know it just as well as our partners, especially if they are women. You know, we gotta know this. So, That's my Google search history.
I mean, apropos of nothing, I'm guessing you didn't have any kind of moment where you thought maybe that your fortunes had changed in terms of the fatherhood department.
Oh, you know, listen, no, I'm not saying all that. I'm just saying
that's just some material you're working on.
That's just material. I'm just saying for the ladies out there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Absolutely. I want you to know that if you want your man to know a little bit more and you're not like trying to conceive, just be like, whew, my mood is feeling a little weird. I feel a little strange right now.
Yeah, I think the like super hetero hip-hop men would be like, yo, you mean like Lil Wayne, that late text? Oh, shit. I know about that.
Yes. But I think it always baffles me when it does baffle me that like we have not been expected to just know more.
I mean, baby, that's just patriarchy. You know what I mean?
That's patriarchy.
Like,
you
grow up in a fucking existence where it's like, yeah, and there's you, and then there's them other people. And then as long as your shit working, don't worry about it. The women will handle it. Like, and then you realize you're like, oh, that is not equitable at all or any kind of world I want to live in.
Nope. And then you learn shit like, I shouldn't say this because this is a joke, everybody. But then you learn shit like, if you ain't ovulating, then you can bust raw. No.
Oh, right, yeah. You mean the old fucking, terrible, terrible man logic?
Yep. Old head logic right there.
I had a family member like that. One of my younger cousins who was living like that. And I was like, bro, that's not science. And he's like, but hey, man, if you worry about that stuff, then it'll happen. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, are you manifesting?
If my sperm got worry in it, then it's going to find an egg.
You cannot manifest contraception, okay? But, okay, do whatever you got to do.
What is something you think is overrated?
Well, I was racking my brains on this, and actually, Miles, your comment about wearing shoes really resonated with me. I actually hate wearing shoes.
And, there you go.
I was reminded, being in this last bowl at Soho Works, I used to work for a branding and strategy agency, and we had a meeting that I thought went quite well, and then my boss called me into a one-on-one huddle afterwards, which I wasn't sure what the message was going to be, but he was like, we all saw you, including the clients, carrying your shoes around outside the meeting room. Please at work, always keep your shoes on. I was like, you know what? Very embarrassing, but probably fair enough.
Wait, so were you going like sockless, like full on?
No,
bare
I had
feet?
Socks. I had red socks, which is a terrible British habit. And just thinking I was, you know,
nice low
without
key,
a care in the world,
bright
wandering
red
around,
socks.
Laptop in one hand, shoes in the other. Which
I feel like I guess sometimes when I'll take my shoes off. I've been at that place. I'm like, man, get these fucking shoes off. And then, like, I'll walk to, like, the office kitchen in, like, my socks. But the only time I remember getting in, because I've been in a similar situation, people are like, you're not wearing shoes. I'm like, you act like I'm in bare feet.
Yeah.
Like,
it's different. It's different.
It's different. I'm at least respecting, like, I'm having some kind of foot covering on. I just don't like the structure of my shoe, and it's more comfortable. So please leave me alone, and I'll go back into my office and look at Reddit.
That's one of the always that there's articles every summer, which is like, what's the correct etiquette on the airplane based on the frontline experience of the cabin attendant or host or hostess? And the advice is always, you're allowed to take your shoes off, but not your socks. But you have to take your shoes back on before you go to the bathroom, which I'm often keen to do.
You don't want to wear towels on your feet to go into a bathroom. That's what a sock becomes at that point. But I'm sorry. I'm like looking. There's a fly flying around here, and I'm.
Oh,
trying
I thought
to,
there
like,
was a bird in the miles.
Nah, I'm about to shit, Clyde Frazier this motherfucker. Like I'm like
just catch
it
real
shit,
slow,
shake
it
up,
around in your hand, then release
just,
it.
Just release it back in the room and let it start all over again. But. Yeah. No, like,
I am a big shoes on energy just for everyone. I have ugly feet that smell bad.
Okay.
So I've always kept my shoes on and I've always looked upon people who just sit down on an airplane and take their shoes off with wonder and awe.
Well, my shit smell good. So I don't.
That's
I'm
great.
I'm never uncasing some stinky feet. I'll keep the socks on because it's cold on the airplane. Like people who go bare feet in the fucking plane. No, that's a violation. I will say that. That is a violation.
An FAA violation, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I cleared out an entire dorm floor in a basketball camp when I was like 12 years old with like my socks.
Oh, no.
Like
people, that happened to a,
like
yo,
like the other wing of the dorm. They're
that's
like,
so funny.
What is that shit?
That happened to me in fifth grade. Not me, but a kid in my school. We went to this like camp. And like we were in these dorms and his shoes smelled so fucking bad. Like everyone lost their minds and it kind of turned into like a low key bullying thing.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, this
wasn't
fucking feet stink.
And,
and it was like, he cried and shit. And I remember like, oh, damn, I'm glad my feet don't smell because that's how they get you.
Yeah. It was definitely formative. And that's why I wear boots to bed. Even when I sleep, I keep my boots on.
I know I remember when we were on tour once, you're like, hey, do you have like some garbage bags and duct tape? And I'm like, for what?
I will frequently, even if you're in a hotel with like the windows that only open a crack, I will hang my socks out the window. I've
get the
lost
foot spray.
Many a sock.
Yeah. Get the foot spray because
I do.
Like to go,
and they're
you know?
Actually not that bad
okay,
anymore.
Right.
It's just, but I'm pretty self conscious about it.
Right. But the pain has already, the trauma has already
the
occurred.
Pain
so
is
no,
there.
The pain is already.
What's something you think is underrated?
I just watched Nanny, directed by Nick Yatou Jusu, and I don't know if you've heard of it. Phenomenal. I feel like it's not getting enough love. I have hardly seen anybody talking about it. It's so beautifully shot. It's like a psychological horror movie about a nanny who works for this wealthy white family, and she is Black, and it is so good, and it is chilling and beautiful and heartbreaking and just a really incredible film. So yeah, I haven't seen hardly anybody talking about it. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it came out in 2022 and I remember when it came out, like the reviews were so positive and I was like, I've got to see this. And then it just disappeared from like the conversation. So yeah.
Yeah, I think people were a little like, this isn't a horror movie, you know, because it's
sure,
it's real.
It's different and it's real and it's right. It's really interesting and they take it in like incredible directions. So I think kind of some horror fans were a little like, I had to think during that.
Yeah.
So they didn't like it, but I loved it. I thought it was absolutely stunning.
And you can watch that. It would appear on Max, the one to watch.
Really?
Max.com. I don't know. I just said Nanny where to watch because I speak to Google like, I'm just learning the English language.
Oh, and mine says you have to throw your pennies, your tuppence at Jeff Bezos for this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Prime? I watched it on Amazon Prime, but I think it's up around.
Okay.
Hey, look, pick your poison. You know, it could be Max.
Well, Miles has Miles has a professional relationship with Bezos, and I have one with Zaslav. So, our listeners know.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
We're always doing the work.
We got a chat thread. Bald bros.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some dystopian shit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and let's talk about Taylor Swift. Her concerts are sweeping the nation. Everybody's excited on social media, and they're so excited they're apparently suffering from mass amnesia, because some Taylor Swift fans are reportedly attending Taylor Swift concerts and then have no memory of the event afterwards. It's called... by people on social media, not by the medical community. they're calling it post-concert amnesia. And
so what are people saying? That they're just like, they're like, are they truly like, I don't know what happened?
Yeah. One person claimed that if it hadn't been for a video of her at the show, she would have told everyone that it didn't happen. Another person said she had spent so long dreaming about what it would be like to see the singer in person. She later claimed she couldn't grasp what was reality. It's hard to put together what you actually witness. Wow. So I don't know. Has Taylor Swift?
Someone I've seen the, God.
The, like, so there was a tweet that was like one of my tweets of the day that was like comparing the like stage design to the really complicated shirts from season 2 of I Think You Should Leave.
Dan Flash's.
Yeah, Dan Flash's really super complicated shirt patterns.
Yeah, they're more expensive.
Yeah, more expensive because the patterns are so complicated. And like her stage design looks pretty complicated. So I don't know if she's like done something that has like, I've never heard someone say it's hard to put together what you actually witness
right
before necessarily.
Part of me is thinking like one version is like hyperbole from fans to talk about how amazing it was. That
right.
You're like literally, I don't even know what happened. It was so magical. But like, are there actual people like, no, I'm actually worried. Like, I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? Like, is it more like on that level? Or is it more like, it was such a dream. Like, I don't know if I was just out of body or whatever. Or I guess, or they're saying like, it's hard for me to specifically even call back something from the concert. I know I was there, but that's about it. After that, I just went into an absolute dream state.
If the CIA were to align itself with an artist, I feel like that would probably be the correct, like that would be the choice. Taylor
Swift.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. But it's a little, I mean, if the idea is that it's such a transporting and extremely magical experience that you're literally not able to form memories, it makes it a little disappointing that I've certainly never, I don't think I've ever experienced that. I've definitely been drunk enough that I don't remember what happened in college.
Right.
But the idea that it has such a transcendent experience that you can't remember it kind of makes you wonder, like, what am I'm missing out on the highs of life by not being a big Taylor stan.
Now I'm getting like FOMO because like I've seen artists that I've absolutely obsessed over and been like, I'm there. I'm going to be front row. And I remember that shit. Like, it was magical. Like, I was like, I'm here. I'm experiencing it exactly how I want to. But yeah, to your point, I'm like, so is there like another level? Like
another level. It's like, Easter egg.
Are these people just getting really drunk for the first time? Like, it was crazy. I like had 7 to 12 drinks and now I get... No, so according to one psychology professor, this is something that can happen when someone is in a highly emotional state. Due to exciting or distressing factors, the neurons associated with memory start firing indiscriminately, which makes forming new memories difficult, which is the opposite of what, like, I had always heard when you're in like a heightened emotional state, you are more likely to like have a like flashbulb memory, you know, like that's when you have those memories that really stick because you're like have this heightened state of arousal.
Don't tell that to Ron DeSantis, who's denying people from Guantanamo recognized him.
Right.
How are they going to remember that? It's like, I don't know, man. People remember shit in those moments. That's what I know.
Some people claim not to remember parts of their own wedding is the example that they're giving. So it's like, I've noticed this like with being a dad. Like, I will look at a video that I've taken of my kids and it's I'm like, I don't remember that at all. I don't remember saying those words at all. I don't remember my kids looking like that. because I'm so like, that has to do with just like I see them every day. So like what they look like is just what they've always looked like in my brain. But you know, I think there's something there that's like missing from my understanding of memory. Because the only thing that I had, the only interaction between memory and emotional state that I've really had room for in like the thing that I built in when I was like a teenager based on like accepted knowledge was that like scared or excited, your memory like works better. So, but and then really drunk, your memory doesn't work. Those were the two things that I knew of that could affect your memory.
That's my psych degree.
And then like there was also the stuff about, you know, repressed memories of abuse or traumatic experiences. But like I had always kind of, because a lot of that stuff ended up being recovered through hypnosis and like led to it, involved in a lot of the satanic panic stuff. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like there's a little more here where like there are forms of heightened memories or like excitement or, you know, like with my kids, it's like the love is so strong. Like my brain can't look directly, like it's like trying to look directly at the sun or something. Your brain just like isn't big enough to take it all in is like kind of how it feels. So maybe that's what they're experiencing with Taylor Swift concerts.
Maybe there's a new merch opportunity, like the spinning coin in Inception that could be sold to Taylor Swift fans before the concert so they knew that
they're here.
Right, exactly.
Because she's a master of like repackaging things they already have and be like, well, what about this version? It's only available for 24 hours and it has half a song on it that you haven't heard. How about that? Buy that. But yeah, maybe she does still like start selling like reality totems. It's like, if it keeps spinning, you know what's going on. Which is funny because when you say that, Jack, the first thing I was like, well, does this happen at Beyonce concerts? Because that's the only other group of people who I feel like I get the Swiftie connection. Like these people, the parasocial relationships that they have with Taylor Swift is to the next level. So like I can tell that they're already like operating in like a psychological space that might be different than other fandoms. But it's interesting because the only thing I was like, I just searched Beyonce post-concert amnesia and an article just came out 10 hours ago. Beyonce fans also getting post-concert amnesia at Renaissance. So I'm like, is this a marketing thing? Like, what the fuck is this?
Could just be a few people on Twitter reported not being able to remember something and everybody jumped on it. But
right.
I mean, there are psychology professors and like this Psychology Today article claiming that like we focus. This Psychology Today article totally does not vibe with like how I feel like my memory works. They're like, you focus on experiencing the world, not remembering it. So if people are truly living in the moment and enjoying the concert, they're not necessarily doing the work of trying to make new memories. It's like, I don't intentionally ever make memories. I'm not like, oh, I'm remembering this so fucking hard right now.
Jack, you remembering? You remembering right now?
God damn. This is good remembering that's happening. But yeah, so I don't know. But
all I take from this is I have FOMO that I've never blacked out at a concert. Like, that wasn't chemically induced.
I blacked out at a concert for understandable reasons.
That wasn't chemically induced.
Yes.
Okay? That wasn't me abusing Xanax or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like, I'm fucking levitating because I love the artist so much. And now I'm... What is it, Swifties? Or I'm part of me, like, the jokey side of me is like, I think they just want to forget that she's with Matty Healy and all that that's happening right now.
Right.
Anyway.
But is the concert, like... I guess it's hard to ask this question because you can't really, but like, are people saying it's like a really great concert who aren't like inherently huge Taylor Swift stans?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the people who I know who are Taylor Swift fans who have gone, I feel like everything's been so no one is saying a bad word about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, okay. Because the tickets were so fucking expensive and hard to get. I think that's the other part of it too, is like, you're probably so stressed because you spend like a fucking mortgage payment and a half trying to get a ticket to the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the other thing is too, people are wearing adult diapers to the shows.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Because they don't want to miss a thing. Like, there's a bunch of TikTok clips of like people helping their homegirls like get into some diapers. Oh, another person was like taking a selfie video. It's like, I'm at the show and nobody knows I have diapers on.
And then you like move back and they're clearly wearing diapers like under their skinny jeans. Like, yo, actually.
Yo, something going on with your yoga pants. I'm seeing a thin blue line appear in the front, like a baby's diaper. But yeah, like again, I get that part. Like I think I've told this story. I peed myself at the front row of Jay-Z at Coachella like 10 years ago because I didn't want to miss anything. And when I saw how far I would have to travel to go to the restroom and then fight through a fucking gigantic pit to get to where I was like, nah, we doing this right here.
Yeah.
So.
And also, like we already mentioned, everything about you smell, your pee smells fantastic. So it didn't
matter. Yeah. I'm very well hydrated. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're not going to get that, like, that sort of terrible, like, ureic acid. Oh, yeah. No.
All right. America is rethinking the whole parking spot thing. So there's a new book by a guy named Henry Graeber that's pointing out, like, specifically New York City could repurpose some of its 3 million curbside parking lots, which would then provide, like, the amount of space that's taken up by parking in just New York City, to put things in perspective, is the area equivalent to 52 Central Parks. That's, like,
How is that physically possible?
Because every street in the city is lined on both sides with parking.
Everything is, and there's no alleys in New York.
Yeah.
They don't have alleys.
Could you make 52, like, what is the proportion of Central Park to Manhattan? I'm sorry, I'm getting like real nerdy here. I'm like, could you fit
Central Park
Central
is about 1/52 of the amount of parking that there is, if you need to visualize it.
That's actually really helpful. That's a good way to put it. Now I can picture it. I mean, it wouldn't, like, you wouldn't be able to move the buildings around and create 52 Central Parks, obviously. Like,
but the equivalent square footage is what they're saying?
Yeah, equivalent square footage.
You know how your intestines are like 7,000 miles long or whatever they are? That's what parking is like in New York City. You look at Manhattan from above, you're like, there's no way that my crap watch could fit and do all that. And
now unwind it. It's 52
it's
Central
only parking.
Parks.
There's, and then that makes the sidewalks where the trash goes.
Right. Exactly. Well, that is one of the things people are pointing out is, like, it would make it possible for there to be proper trash storage so that you could actually, you know, put trash in New York City in containers.
does not currently happen. And it's why New York is synonymous with like having a horrible swarming rat problem.
Not only does it not happen, when you type that sentence out in the dock, a red squiggly line goes underneath it. That's like that's how little New York has for trash cleanup.
Yeah. But it, like, just living in New York, there are like these massive snowbanks of trash on sidewalk sometimes. It's truly wild.
I remember as a kid, we pushed our friend into it when we were walking because we're like, dude, when he gets next to it, just fucking launch him into the trash. And he disappeared. We haven't seen him since. Just shouldered him.
If you don't do it on that opportunity, you can do it 9 feet later at the slightly larger
track. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think this was an efficient way for cities to rebuild, but New York has never quite fully burned down like San Francisco and Chicago like to do.
Right.
And what happened when San Francisco and Chicago burned down? Those parts of the city have nice alleyways for storing trash.
That's right.
I think maybe this parking thing's a better idea than purpose fire, but not a city planner.
Precision arson is your solution, Kyle, to every problem that we raised before recording.
It is.
Yeah.
Everything from like protecting our democracy, like precision arson. The debt ceiling.
Precision firing. Now it's the debt sky.
That's right. Which is the thing out.
Yeah. I mean, I think, New York just got 9/11 and we got a police state. So that was like the best.
Yeah, but Lower Manhattan has tons of places to store trash.
That's true.
You have to rebuild a lot and make these alleyways. All right.
And really cool camera arrays that are just jetting up from everywhere to be like, what is this? It's like, we're looking at you. We're looking at you, motherfucker.
Nah, it's made everything safe forever.
But so our writer JM kind of looked back at some past examples. We've talked about Paris. We've talked about some cities in the Netherlands. Zurich back in 1996 flat out stated there would be no more parking in the city. Like, if a developer wanted to create new parking spaces, they would be required to remove that many parking spaces from the city streets.
I love that. That's like a nightclub. It's like one in, one out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the fire marshal's there with the clicker. Hey, sorry, man. Sorry. Need a few more out. Need a few more out.
On a stool, holding a clicker.
Click, click, click.
Paris has been removing street parking, replacing it with underground facilities. And last year, they passed a law requiring parking lots big enough to hold around 50 American-sized cars. I love that. We stand for something in the global community.
When they see American-sized cars, it is the hot dog car from I Think You Should Leave.
That's right.
Right.
If it can hold 50 American-sized cars, they're required to build raised solar panel canopies covering at least half of the surface of the parking lot, which would be the equivalent of 10 nuclear power plants. So, I don't know. That's cool. seems like these are all positive ideas.
Number. Hey, just with that, you'd have nice, clear streets and the power of 10 nuclear power plants. Like, wow,
this
what
does
a deal.
Sound like the meekest superhero origin story.
Right.
Solar Man.
He could be called like the Paris Accord because he was parking his Honda and Accord, accidentally got electrocuted by the solar panel. Now he's just pretty attuned to traffic flow.
And then Berlin, one neighborhood experiment with getting rid of parking spots altogether and are like allowing bikes and scooters to occupy spaces that used to be exclusive to cars. So this is all like, these are great. When you look at pictures of these places, it's like, here's what it used to look like. And it's like an American city. And now here's what it looks like. And there's just like all these amazing creative things that they're doing with all the sidewalk space. And, you know, like they have things called bike highways in Paris that are just what used to be streets that are now, you know, parks with bike lanes going through them, essentially, in the U.S. So there are around 2 billion parking spaces in the country, which amounts to nearly 7 parking spaces for every car, which seems like too many.
Guns and parking are a uniquely American problem.
Yeah.
That's got to level out if you just like get rid of Houston.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Both of those statistics.
Like there was just a move at the, like when cars first became a thing, like they encoded all these laws, these like zoning codes that mandated minimum parking requirements for real estate projects that basically said that when a new building goes up, there's a minimum number of parking spaces that need to be provided or like the city will fall apart.
Or else.
And like everyone has been like that. Turns out that's not the case. Jackson, Wyoming, a study found that there were 27 spaces for every home. So
There's just, wait, you're telling me there's 54 parking spaces in Jackson, Wyoming?
That's right. But it was actually like inverted at this time. Like when these zoning restrictions went into place, the cool thing was like among young people, like was driving. Like that was, and like public transportation was like what the old people were into and used. But like driving was seen as like individualistic and like you controlled your own destiny. And like that's the book On the Road is like the Bible for this shit. But I don't know. It feels like now we have an opportunity with a generation coming up that like doesn't even get their license at the same rate as ever before.
Right.
And that think cars are shit. So it seems like there should be an opportunity here to roll some of this shit back, but it's just a matter of, you know, getting out from under this massive system that
if there's one thing I've found, it's that Americans are generally receptive to wide sweeping change. So I think if this is presented on a local and a national level and they hear it from anyone they don't care for, they'll be in. This is something they'll jump on board for.
Just listen to reason on this one.
Yeah. We have like these dumb fucking zoning laws and like the worshiping of parking spaces. And I think we've talked about in the past how cars are getting too big for fucking parking spaces because every car manufacturer is like, people will buy bigger cars for more money. So just make them fucking gigantic to the point you can't even park them in the old parking spaces. And a lot of that has to do with the National Automobile Dealers Association because they're just like a massive lobbying group. And they, you know, they got all the dealers on one page and like they definitely help push through a lot of that kind of stuff too. That
I don't have like a massively informed knowledge on this, but I do know that tire companies like Firestone were very big on sabotaging transit in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah.
Los Angeles 100%. Used to have like a huge amount of rail cars.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Like above ground, like San Francisco style rail cars. And then they just pushed, they were invested in by a company that was essentially funded by Firestone and General Motors that just was like, hey, we should get rid of all of these and make it impossible to get around this. Cause LA used to have so many more stops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Such a vast transit system.
Yeah, if you look at the old layout of that old system, your eyes would water. And I mentioned this on a past episode, like growing up, like you'd like trip over the old infrastructure, like in the street. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
It's like,
was there a
train
here? Yeah, no, 100%. And it's like the asphalt is like revealing a little bit of the track. And then some older person's like, that's when the trolley used to come through here. And you're like, no fucking way. Get away. Right. Get in my Honda.
It was like, it would be from like Long Beach, Santa Monica. This is just super specific to LA, but like massive and sprawling all the way out through the valley and everything.
Yeah.
Just completely replaced because for some reason, a tire company wanted more cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even buses instead of the transit, which are a lot less efficient and harder to track and things like that.
Yeah. I think it was that and also just that it was like seen as cool. Like it really was.
Yeah.
Like cars
freedom.
Were seen as cool. I mean, they still are.
Early freedom, you know. You're 16, you can get out of your house and go somewhere on your own. And
yeah. Go smoke.
How'd that
pot
work out
by
for
lookout?
James Dean?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's making sausage.
Actually made him seem really cool.
I just saw a statue of him up at the observatory.
There are some U.S. cities getting rid of the minimum parking requirements. At least there's been 15 in 2022 alone, which it also has an impact on the housing crisis because when you like are building something that requires you to build a bunch of like find a bunch of parking spots for it, it just like changes how you approach the thing. It makes it way more expensive. And then those costs get folded into the cost to the builder. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Folded into the rent or the asking price always, regardless of whether or not you
own
a car.
They love to pass those savings on to you.
Yeah, that's right.
just get you. You guys want in on this too? We're thinking about going in on some parking. You guys want in? All right, why not?
No, also, apparently we have a big problem.
For the rent.
That's right. Also, apparently, we have a big problem with people murdering each other over parking spaces, which I wasn't aware of. But
it's an annual multi-dozen occurrence, apparently.
It was weird. I took a guy's parking spot that he really wanted, and he was really angry. And then I tried saying, no, there's seven of these for every car in America.
Yeah,
he wasn't listening to reason.
That didn't calm him down at all.
You should have an abundance mentality, sir, not a scarcity mentality.
I drove up to Griffith Observatory with my dog and we're hanging out up there, and there was so little parking that people are like almost fighting each other to pay $10 an hour.
Yeah.
I, I had that same experience and just turned around. I was like, well, this has been a nice ride.
Just drove off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah. I was like, it just drove into the ocean.
That's what happened to the O'Doyle family. No parking. Yeah, exactly. It just went right off the
edge.
You
know what, kids? How about we go to the ocean and get our whole shit bit instead?
That's right.
Rather do that than this crap. But yeah, it's like, it really does bring the weirdest shit out of people. Cause I feel like on the internet, you always see videos of like people who like stand in a fucking parking space, like with their hands on their hips. And they're like, no, go around, go around. My husband's coming with the car. He's coming with
45 minutes away.
Yeah.
My husband's almost born.
And it I get so like fucking incensed by seeing those videos. And I'm like, you can tell when, you know, how shit can go left in those situations because people are so fucking protective or exercise this bizarre fucked up sense of ownership.
I think Chicago has like wild unwritten rules about chairing off snow spaces that you've dug out. Like if your car was, if it snows around your car, you're allowed to put a folding chair and keep that spot for the day.
If you've done the work.
If you've done the work or something like that. And you know, you know, the thing about those unwritten rules is everyone loves them.
Yeah. When someone just throws that chair 40 feet and parks there, you're allowed to key their car and take a shit on the hood. So.
Yeah, Zeitgang, let us know. What are the weird parking laws?
There has to be. I feel like there's a lot of this weird unwritten stuff that exists. Can you cover the sidewalk? Does a chair take a spot? Where can you know what I mean? There's got to. It feels like city to city and town to town. They probably have different.
I was always blown away, like when I was in Seattle recently, how people just park on the wrong side of the road, too. Like, just they're like, yep, I don't know, fuck it, park on whatever side I want to park this car. And like, as an like LA person where we have just such fucking draconian like parking enforcement rules, I'm like, is that allowed here in this whimsical town?
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk some shit about Seattle off mic and then we'll come back. No, I'm just kidding. But what the fuck? They park the opposite way?
What's wrong with them?
And how'd that work out for Kurt Cobain?
Thank you.
And Jimi Hendrix.
That's true.
That's right. All right. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And a Republican read some medical research and not the do your own research.
No.
Medical research, but like actual medical papers. And that is like, news.
Listen to like every, you know, professional medical association and pediatric care group. My mind is still blown. So Louisiana State Senator Fred Mills is a Republican. Okay. And just so you know what kind of Republican, he has like a flawless record as an anti-abortion sicko. Like he's got one of those perfect ratings from those anti-abortion groups. But he just used his position to make his state the first in the South that has voted down a ban on gender-affirming care for minors. And you're like, huh? No. What? As the chair of the Health and Welfare Committee, he blocked a gender-affirming care ban bill from reaching a floor vote. And you're probably thinking, is this one of those moves where they vote down like the super vile, extreme fucked up version to make it seem like, okay, we're not that bad. And then just replace it with one that's just like a couple degrees less like fucked up.
Yeah.
No, it's that he read medical reports and analysis. He read the report from his own state, the state of Louisiana's Department of Health, that said what basically all medical professionals have been saying about gender affirming care. No, it's not mutilation. It absolutely saves kids' lives. It's not something people come to regret, like at some kind of ridiculous 30% rate or whatever, like those weird talking points that Republicans have. Most kids getting this kind of care are around 15 and 17, not 4 years old. Also, no minor child has ever received any kind of fucking surgery, despite all the lies you hear about like these doctors who will like mutilate your child, this, that, and the other. So when he voted to kill the bill, he basically said, I read the reports and the stats, and I was convinced that this is something that should be left between a patient and a doctor, because ultimately I trust doctors and that they're not like groomer pedo demons like my colleagues have been saying. I just read the thing. And again, it's important to note that while there's this report from the Department of Health in Louisiana, there was a similar report from Florida last year that a lot of Republicans have been waving around to be like, look at this report on gender affirming care from Florida. Okay. Right. This is what we're fighting for. The report, as you can imagine, coming from Ron DeSantis's Florida, was devoid of any kind of real medical research or anything. This is how a Yale professor categorized this quote unquote medical report from Florida. Quote, the report makes false statements and contains glaring errors regarding science, statistical methods, and medicine. Ignoring established science and longstanding authoritative clinical guidance, the report instead relies on biased and discredited sources, including purported, quote, expert reports that carry no scientific weight due to lack of expertise and bias. So repeated and fundamental are the errors in the June 2nd report that it seems clear that the report is not a serious scientific analysis, but rather a document crafted to serve a political agenda. And you're like, wow, how did this happen? Anyway, the whack jobs in his party are already calling for the bill to be bypassed and sent to the floor for a full vote. The governor in Louisiana is a Democrat and he would most likely veto it. But again, it's a fully red state house, so they could override the veto. So it could be an interesting merry-go-round. But for now, this is a great moment for anybody who gives a shit about gender-affirming care and rights for trans people. And just a brief, it's just like this weird moment where a guy that looks like a cartoon version of a Republican, like actually read the facts. And I'm still shaken to my core. And yeah, now he's being harassed. Like the national right wing apparatus is like, this guy's a groomer, and already coming after him. And when he was asked by the local paper if he cared about all the people focused on him, he said, quote, why should I? I didn't run to serve them. They don't live in District 22. They don't even have a 337 area code. So I'm like, wow, interesting. Think for yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
It pays off. It's just.
Yeah. The similar thing happened, I feel like, in Utah, where they had like a super hardline bill and there was like.
Well, one passed in Idaho up here this session. HB 71 passed the House. It bans all gender affirming care for minors. The governor signed it. It becomes law January 1st up here. Jesus. And we're already, between that and our extremely draconian anti-abortion laws, we're actually seeing a ton of medical professionals leave the state. We're losing a ton of doctors, because I talked to a doctor on my podcast, or our podcast, I guess. But he said that, like, you know, you go to school for 10 to 15 years, you can't risk a felony charge. You can lose your medical license for a felony charge. And all it takes is somebody to say that you provided gender-affirming care to a minor. You don't even have to be fully indicted and everything like that and be found guilty, because what will happen is just the charge itself will make it right. So that you lose your malpractice insurance and you can never get it back once you've lost it. It's very difficult. So they were like losing tons and tons of doctors from the state right now because they're like, I'm not going to fuck with that. I'm not going to risk losing my malpractice insurance. And I kind of feel like in a way that Idaho, Utah, Florida, these places were like test cases for these really horrible, horrible laws. And what you're seeing is places like Louisiana say, oh, actually, maybe this is a terrible fucking idea. Also, sadly, I watched all the hearings for HB 71, and it was very, very heartbreaking to see how many of the Republican senators and House members said, I read the research. All the research goes against this bill. I have trans family members that this will affect, minors. I think this bill is terrible. Still voted for it. They all still voted for it. And it was like a ton of people who were like, I'm morally opposed to this, and then still voted for it because they didn't want to deal with the fallout. They didn't want to deal with the national right wing, fascist machine coming after them. Yeah. So they just voted for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the way this guy looks, I got to show you this guy, Dr. Fred Mills. He like, if I just showed you based off just a vibe check, you'd be like, this Republican, you think he's where do you think he lies there? He's got like a all white seersucker suit. Like he looks like Foghorn Leghorn as a doctor or some shit. But yeah, it is like, again, and I think this is only to do with the fact that his background as a pharmacist probably led him to have half a fucking brain when it comes to like medical research to know, yeah, there's shit I don't know.
Yeah.
And if all of these professionals who like I know are not like goony whack jobs are saying this is actually beneficial for these like young people, well, who the fuck am I to like push back against that? And yeah, and like a lot of people suspect, his term's coming up and this is maybe like his last act to do something like normal before like, exiting politics. But my God, yeah, he clearly wasn't fazed by like people like Matt Walsh coming after him, because we're seeing constantly like we talked about last week, the Target stuff, how easily you're seeing people cave to this kind of outrage in a time that the attacks on like gay and transgender people in America is there've been 100 bills, I think, that have been anti-LGBTQ bills that have signed in the last 5 years, and 50 of them have come this year.
Jesus Christ.
Like that's the rate at which this shit is ramping up. And we're in a time more than ever where we need to be able to like demonstrate like that we stand with these communities. But again, if you have enough people who want to go live on Instagram and tear down your fucking store displays in a Target, and then, it's causing a real back and forth that it's unfortunately just, leading to more discord and violence.
Yeah. And again, it really is not the majority of people. Like, this is a extremist group that is taking control of like politics, and it's like carefully coordinated, and they're using insurgency tactics to like end dark money and the fact that they have a lot of money behind them to do these things. But I mean, like there's this recent report that like 11 people are primarily responsible for the majority of book ban requests. That we're seeing that happen in so many places across the country. And it's just like a handful of extremist people. It reminds me of like the Westboro Baptist Church, where for a decade they were like at all these events and you were like, man, people in America are so dumb. And then that you find out it's like a single family that is doing this shit. And like, I just think there is sometimes a level of like hopelessness that might take hold because the way the media covers it is that it's like, well, that's half the country and there are reasonable people in the other half. And it's like, it doesn't seem to actually be the case.
I've seen it a lot with like in states like Montana, other places that have had like drag bans where people come out and they counter protest the fucking ignorant people who want to go and be hateful. And they're fucking outnumbered every fucking time. I've not seen one time where there are more like hateful bigots, out there in mass than a group of people who are there for acceptance or equality. And they're like, yeah, man, there's just more people here. And yet, I think it is. It is a little. It is dangerous to like kind of keep focusing on a way because it does give this impression. But just like we talked about with like Moms for Liberty, there were enough parents who saw Moms for Liberty groups pop up in their areas, and they were just like talking to other parents, like, "This is bullshit, right?" And they're like, "Yeah." And like, "Do you even know these people?" They're like, "No, I never even fucking heard of these people."
They don't
like,
even have kids in our school district.
Yeah, let's just.
But they're well funded and they're really well organized.
Exactly.
Like when HB 71 went to the governor. Like when the anti-trans bill went to the governor's desk here, you know, everybody, all of us were like, call the governor, email. And in the end, he got thousands and thousands of calls and emails in support of trans people and against this horrible bill. But the group funding it, the Idaho Family Policy Center, which is funded by outside money, people not even from Idaho, they robocalled. They set up robocalls to the governor and they were able to make it look like they had more calls like on paper, but then it turned out that they had spent like $5,000 to get these calls. They were just robocalls. They were fucking fake. So I think it's easy to think, oh, we're outnumbered by these bigots. But even here in Idaho, which is probably one of the hardest places to be trans, like Florida and Idaho maybe are the hardest places. But even here, I really think that the average person does not give a shit. And it's really these outside actors who are the same people who are burning masks, are the same, like, you know, they were able to take this group of people, get them very fired up, these QAnon people, get them fired up about masks, get them fired up about tyranny. And then now they can just laser beam them to anything they want, essentially. Yeah. And it's not that many people. Like you said, it's like 11 people with a lot of time on their hands.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is distinct from Trump supporters. I think Trump does have a lot of supporters who show up at the ballot box. Like, unfortunately, like, that doesn't seem to carry over. But like the stuff that focuses on like trans people and, you know, gender affirming care and, you know, a lot of the school book bans. Like, I think most people, even if they're Trump supporters, are like, I don't want my children to like not be able to read books. But like the Trump supporter in the QAnon thing is like, it maybe not QAnon, but the Trump supporter base is always like surprises me in the other direction, like how big it actually turns out to be, unfortunately.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a white grievance politics and then there's like totally off the walls. Like we basically want Nuremberg laws.
Yes.
You know,
right.
For gay people. And that's, I think, you know, that's like the one historical parallel that we have to be able to be like, there's like we're seeing this momentum building. Against a group that is on the margins of our society. And this is, I don't know, my history lessons. I'm like, okay, we got an election coming up. And I've read all these stories about how Trump's next bite of the apple is like going to be all, if he gets into office, it's all about radically expanding the powers of the president's office.
Yeah.
And it all, I don't know, seems really bad.
Yeah.
Just as a historical pattern. Which is why, like, yeah.
Let's get you a Winnie the Pooh book and just.
I think that would be nice
run,
for
hide,
Miles,
fight.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be really nice and soothing. And,
yeah. Maybe that's what we need. That's what it takes.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.